We human beings are not like weeds in an untended garden that grow up and survive without any care. We depend on having affection in our lives. As soon as your mother became aware of your existence in her womb, she began pouring all her love and tenderness into you. Then, once you emerged into the world, you wouldn't have survived a day without her love. As you grew up, you continually received her warmth, or at least the warmth of some family member or loving human being. Thanks to receiving Tsewa, you have become an adult capable of standing on your own 2 feet. Thanks to Tsewa, you can now look after yourself and your family and contribute something to society. If you hadn't received so much love throughout your life, you would not feel any security or strength inside. You would not have a sound mind. Our well-being also depends on our expressing Tsewa to others. From early childhood, we have been learning to open our hearts to parents, siblings, friends, and pets. If our heart had never developed the ability to feel warmth toward others, if there were no one toward whom we felt tenderness, closeness, and trust, we would now be in a state of painful isolation. Our mind would be imprisoned in a miserable state of narcissism. Of course, the happiness and sound mind we enjoy are only relative. We can acknowledge that our mind isn't totally blissful and free from confusion, like the Buddha or the great sages of the past and present. We have a long way to go. Still, there are so many fortunate aspects to our lives and minds that we have to appreciate. And when we appreciate them, we should examine where they come from. What is their source? By contemplating this question deeply, we will discover the indispensable role that giving and receiving Tsewa has always had in our lives. We will come to see that Tsewa is like oxygen. There's no question that we need oxygen to survive. Whether we breathe in oxygen is not up for debate or negotiation. If we're in a place without oxygen, or if we can't breathe, then our lives are in grave danger. Or if the amount we can take in is less than the full amount we need, perhaps because of a medical condition, our life will be a continual struggle. Just as our lungs always yearn for oxygen, our heart always yearns to be open, to give and receive Tsewa. So when we shut down our hearts, whether intentionally or not, we suffer. We feel mentally and emotionally disturbed. All sentient beings, down to the tiniest insect, want to be happy and free from suffering. Although we can only directly experience our own longing, we can infer this common desire by observing the behavior of others. In the same way, others can infer our own desire by observing our behavior. For all beings, this longing is continuous. We feel it day and night, week after week, month after month, year after year. But what really is this happiness we seek, other than the exuberant openness and warmth of our own heart? Without Tsewa, is there any other source of happiness? Can we find happiness in physical comfort and sensory pleasures? In relationships, the perfect job, the ideal house, a bank balance with many digits, the American dream? Now, I'm not saying these things have nothing to do with being happy. In the short term, they may well contribute to happiness. But they are not its ever-flowing, inexhaustible source. Accompanied by Tsewa, all of these, and many other things as well, can complement our happiness. But without Tsewa, each is just a shell of happiness, an empty, lifeless shell. Human beings are endowed with a potential for a certain kind of intelligence that other species lack. What is the essence of this intelligence? Is it the mental ability to learn and do complex things? A young woman can set an intention to become a brain surgeon. She can take difficult classes in biology and organic chemistry, go to medical school, memorize every process that happens in the body, acquire more specialized training in neurology and surgery, spend years as an intern, and then eventually be able to operate on the human brain. A dog or a turtle can't do any of those things. Yet, in their own way, animals are able to perform great feats of ingenuity. If you watch any of the nature shows, you'll see countless examples of animal intelligence. Animals that have never been given enough credit for their intelligence. Crabs, rodents, fish, spiders are capable of complex strategizing, judgment, communication, and problem solving. In this way, they may have more in common with human beings than we tend to think.